Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friend, I want to try to dig into some inconsistencies that I heard while listening to other people's podcasts. And there's this podcast out there that I'm not really going to tell you who the podcast is because I'm not in the position to want to promote the guy at this point. But I have been listening to him because I'm thinking about doing some business with him. So I'm listening to all of his materials. And sharp guy, seemed like a good guy. Like I said, I'm thinking about doing some business with him. So in doing so, you know, you want to make sure you check the guy out really well. So I've listened to all of his podcasts, or not all of them, but quite a few podcasts. And one of the things that's interesting is he keeps coming up, he keeps interviewing different types of real estate investors. So I get to see, you know, what is his insight into real estate investing? It's really interesting, although he is considered a business and marketing expert. He really has no idea at all about real estate investing. In fact, he's a friend with another guy that is a real estate investor, and he still has no idea what the guy does. He just believes the guy makes money out of thin air. A lot of people believe that money is made out of thin air. The other thing that he believes is that money can be used just to make money without having any skill or without having any willingness to work or make that connection. And so I've got to go into that today and try to clear up some of the myths that this gentleman just couldn't cover. In fact, as he got into the conversation with a couple different guys, each time he threw his arms up and said, well, there it is. There's the secret. That's why I would never do that. That's why I'm not, you know, he keeps thinking he wants to be in real estate investing, but each time he backs away from it. And you go, well, why? Because he really doesn't understand, you know, where the money is made in real estate. And so today I want to cover it with you, because if one person who's as educated about business as this guy is doesn't understand it, then probably most other people won't understand it either. So think about this. This guy gets up every day and he says, I go to work from 8 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. And I work hard, but I don't consider myself a hard worker. Now, think about what I just said. He works from 8 in the morning till 7 at night. He says, I like to spend time with my kids in the morning, so I don't start till 8, but I work till 7 at night. He says, I probably should work till 10 or 11, but I don't. In fact, all of my heroes, this is him speaking now, all my heroes work much harder than I do. And he talked about Tony Robbins doing that. He talked about some other guys. And he said, you know, I probably should work that hard. Now, guys, I want you to understand that I do one radio show a day, about 1 hour. I have a few phone calls with clients. Maybe takes up another hour. And that's my day. Maybe I have a meeting with one of my businesses. I own multiple businesses. Maybe the head of that business wants a meeting. We'll do a meeting, an hour. But that's it. I don't get up and work 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day. I haven't since I was 34 years old. I retired at 34 years of age. And when I retired from that work ethic, that long hour work ethic. So this individual was talking to people about different types of real estate investing where it really is all about the work ethic. It's about working that hard. And he's thinking he can just get a piece of their business, you know, because they're willing to work hard. He's thinking, well, it's easy. They make it look easy. Everybody who works hard makes it look easy. You watch Michael Jordan do what he does. You watch any basketball player that's really good do what they do. And you go, wow, that looks easy. It is not easy. But they make it look easy. It's the same thing with what I do in bodybuilding and dieting. And my daughter just went to a pro contest and her husband's a pro. Boy, they make that look, stay in shape stuff look easy. But it's not easy. It's easy for them. It's easy for me because we know what we're doing. But if the person has no idea how to do it, it's a massive struggle. So as I get into this, what I'm trying to get to you is that this gentleman doesn't have the perspective, the correct perspective. So let's start. What is the correct perspective? In my mind, which is my thing, I'm not all about the hustle. Most people out there are about the hustle. Let's get out here and let's hustle. Let's work. Let's 10X ourselves. Let's do 10 times more than we normally do. And I'm just not that way. I don't want to do 10 times as much to get 10 times the result. What I want to do is I want to buy little pieces of passive income. And I start with little ones because that's what I can afford. I go to medium-sized ones because I later become wealthy enough to afford that. I go to a little bit larger ones and eventually large ones if necessary. Although I don't think you need to go up to super large ones. I've been there and I've come back to smaller stuff. Just simply because your money's not all in one place. You don't, you know, you sleep at night when you own 27 different pieces of real estate instead of owning, you know, one big one that if anything goes wrong with it, you're going to lose your life savings. I don't want to lose my life savings if something goes wrong somewhere, somehow, fire, you know, takes it down and now there's no income for a week or a month or a year, whatever it takes to get it back. I don't want to do that. I want to spread it out a little bit. So I like the small and the medium-sized stuff. I don't like the really small stuff anymore, but the medium-sized stuff's good for me. I've done the large stuff, and I've made good money on large stuff. But when I was doing the large stuff, I was 100% focused on what I was doing because it was and is going to be a job if you get up and do it, make it happen. So let's talk about single-family houses. Why do I like single-family houses? I'm going to go buy a house. The government and or banking system is going to allow me to borrow 80% of the cost of the money, 80% of the money for me to go buy that asset. I am then going to own an asset that is going to be producing for me for the rest of my life if I wish, if I don't get rid of it. It's going to produce for me, number one, cash flow, rental income. It's going to, number two, pay down the mortgage. So as I buy this thing using somebody else's money, my tenants are paying me cash flow, plus they're paying down my mortgage. So at some point, let's assume it's a 30-year mortgage. At 30 years from now, I own the house free and clear. As if you take your 401k and save into it for 30 years, at the end of 30 years, you've got this asset. Except I have an asset right from the beginning, but the asset becomes worth more. I owe less debt on it. My net asset value goes up every year, every single year. Now, there's also inflation, which we call appreciation in the real estate business. So that house goes up in value. My first house I ever bought, I bought for $25,000. It was a three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage house. That house today would be worth $250,000, $300,000 minimum. So at one point, I had 107 houses. And so if they went up that much, you think about that, that alone. If I had only been smart enough just to keep those 107 houses, I wanted to move quicker than that, so I sold them and bought larger things and made lots of money. But even if I had just bought 10 houses, think about the math on that for a second. And the 25,000 houses, which I bought, by the way, for only $2,500 down, 10% down, if I would have had $25,000 invested in these 10 houses who were purchased at $25,000 apiece would now be worth $250,000 or $300,000. That means I would have made $250,000 a house times 10, which would be $2.5 million. All along the way, I would have been receiving cash flow. All right, moving on. You're going to want to own an asset. You want to own that asset either by yourself or you're going to be a syndicator. But we're just going to start with owning assets on your own. That's the first part. That's the first step to all this. And all these other guys all have done this. They just don't admit it. They don't want to go cover it. But you start out by owning an asset on your own. So we go out here and we find this real estate deal. And the first question that guy has, how do you find him? Say, well, somebody else finds him. He's talking to a wholesaler and he's saying, how do you find these deals? And he's killing himself trying to get this guy to admit this guy works like a dog. He's working 60 hours a week, hustling, getting to know people, searching stuff out, networking, and being involved. That's his business, is to find these deals. And this guy's going, well, can't you just find all the deals and I'll give you the money? And the guy's laughing at him because, well, that's pretty much what we do. But the point is, he doesn't know what to do with them if he gave them to him. So when we over here, we teach you how to own the properties. We're going to teach you how to own them. He goes, how do you know how much it's going to cost to rehab? Well, guess what? We're going to teach you. And he said, first of all, how do you even know if it's a deal? We're going to teach you how to decide if it's a deal. We're going to teach you the numbers that you need. But are you going to go do all the work to find this property? No, you're not going to go do the work to find the property. You would never stay in this business if you had to do all the work. Those guys that are wholesalers and flippers, that's their job. They're hustlers. They're busting their butt every day finding these deals. But who do they sell them to? They sell them to us. We own them for the rest of our lives. Real estate agents and brokers work all day long, every day, finding us deals. I own real estate companies in 7 different states. Why do I own these? Because we need people to hustle and find these deals. That's what real estate agents do. They find the deals, so they bring them to us and we buy them. But we have to know when they bring us something if it's a deal or not. That's what you learn. Is this a deal or not? And that's what this guy just couldn't perceive. But how do I know they're a deal? Well, then you come learn, right? And how do I know how much it costs to renovate the place? Again, it's not by picking up the hammer and saw, said the blind man. I picked up the hammer and saw. It is getting out there and learning how we calculate the renovation costs so that you can figure out what it should cost, get 3 bids from 3 different contractors to make sure you've got a legitimate contractor. It's also networking and knowing who is legitimate contractors. And we do that here at Lifestyles. We network back and forth. We have lists of people. But first, we have to teach you how to know that you're renovating it correctly. What should you do? How far should you renovate it? How much money should you put into it? And where should that money go? What is important to renovate and what isn't important to renovate, et cetera, et cetera? Those are things you got to learn. That's what the education. Lifestyles is a mentoring and education program. You have to learn how to figure out those things that this guy just can't figure out. And he wants to know why he can't do it. He can't do it because he's never learned how to do it. Now, once we buy this thing and we've put a contract together with a renovator and the renovator goes in and does the renovation, we're going to lease it. You're going to have to know how to lease. And you can't just stick somebody in there. In fact, the worst thing you could do is stick somebody you know in there. People make that mistake all the time. They put in a friend, a relative, the first person they meet. And they think they're doing somebody a favor, but that person's immediately not going to pay them. And they're probably going to destroy the place. They're going to get mad at them for making them pay. And it's going to be all kinds of problems. Leasing a house is the simplest thing I've ever done. Think about this for a second. In everything I've ever sold in my life, you have to try to motivate people to buy it. You're constantly selling your product, marketing your product. In leasing a house, I could put a sign in the front yard that says how much the rent is and when it's available to lease, and I will get 20 phone calls. The problem with leasing the house is not that it won't lease and lease instantly. The problem is you put the wrong person in there. So you have 2 problems. One, if you put the wrong amount of rent on that sign, if you make it too expensive, you don't have the right price-product ratio, then the people that are going to be willing to pay too much are bad people. Just think about what I'm saying. Good people won't pay too much because they go, that's way too much for that house. I'll go somewhere else. I've got good credit. I'm a good person. I've got good rental references. I'm going to go and get the best deal I can get. If you put the best price on that house, your phone will ring off the hook. People will knock your door down to rent that house from you, good and bad. But if your price is too high or your make-ready is shabby, if you have a bad product, then the only people willing to rent from you are going to be bad people. And if you put a bad person in a house, rent house, it's a nightmare. I mean, let's be honest. It is a nightmare. There's probably nothing worse than having a bad tenant. But having a bad tenant is simply because you didn't know what to do, or you got too lazy and you didn't do it, which is best product, best price, the right price product ratio on the sign, phone rings off the hook, and you screen everybody you talk to. No, just because someone says, I'll take it right away, I'll give you cash, I'll give you 2 months, blah, 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 blah. And you go, wow, that's easy. Go, no. I say back away from the checkbook. Fill out the application. Let me screen you to make sure you have good credit and that you have good rental references. And then, and only then, am I interested in letting you have access and control of my asset. That's what it's got to come down to. And we're going to teach you how to do that. If you don't learn how to do that, a single-family rent house could be the largest nightmare you ever had in your entire life. But on the other hand, if you know how to do that and you put a good tenant in it, the average tenant stays 4 to 11 years. Now, where do I get those numbers? The people that move in and have kids are going to go to one school, stay for the 4 years, whether it be grade school, whether it be middle school, or if you go grade school, middle school, high school, it's 11 years. They won't move. They don't want their kids to go to another school district. They want them to be able to play with their friends. It's important.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments. The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, my friends, if you ever want to ask me a question or bring up a topic, feel free to do so. Just contact me at askdel@luinc.com. That's askdel, D-E-L, one L, at Lifestyles Unlimited, Inc., Incorporated. So it's L-U, Lifestyles Unlimited, Inc., I-N-C, L-U-I-N-C.com. Today we're discussing the insights that some people do not have and why they get lost and do not get into real estate is because they have this misconception of many things. So one of the many misconceptions is you have to go out and hustle and find the house. You don't. There are people that do hustle, work hard to find these houses. They're willing to sell them to you for a small profit. Real estate agents get paid a small commission, but you're ended up making the big profit. So when we buy these things and renovate them, we may buy a house that's worth $200,000. I'm just giving an example. We might buy it for $100,000, but the guy who found the deal, right, might take $5,000. So we may pay him $105,000, we may pay him $110,000, but then we put $50,000 in renovation in it. And so we own it for $150,000 plus his $5,000 or $10,000. So we own, you know, $150,000, $55,000, $160,000. And then it's worth $200,000. So we made $40,000. The guy made $5,000 or $10,000. He hustled, worked hard, earned his $5,000 or $10,000. But we made $40,000 instantly. We made more. Did no work. He did all the work. We made more. Now we own the property. Now we do the renovation. The renovator makes $40,000, $50,000 on us. They earn the money because they work hard and do the renovation, do a good job. And now we own the property. It's worth $200,000, so we made our $40,000. Now we rent it. We have a mortgage. The mortgage is paid by the tenant. Plus, there's a profit that the tenant pays us. And so we sign a lease, we screen the tenant, and we make sure we have the right person there. And typically, people that rent houses are going to be people with families, with kids, as opposed to just rent an apartment. They'd rather rent a house. They get a yard. They get a dog. You know, they got a place for their kids to play. It's a better way to raise your family. You put a good family in there, and they're going to stay during the entire time the kids are there. So, like, for instance, you might have a family that has three kids. Well, they're going to stay for 11 years. It takes 11 years for all three kids to get through 8 years of high school. You know, grade school, middle school, and high school. By 9th and 10th, 12th grade, you know. Bottom line is they're going to be there for 12 years probably. They're all the way through high school. And I've had this happen so many times that I've met people at the grocery store that rent one of my houses. I don't even know who they are. Hey, Del. I go, excuse me, do I know you? Yeah, I'm renting your house over here at 1532 Blue Street. I'm going, oh, how you doing? Yeah. I'm sorry, what was your name again? Oh, yeah, I'm Bob Johnson. Hey, Bob, nice to meet you. Nice to see you again. Great. Hey, thanks. How's the house doing? Oh, it's doing great. Okay, great. Glad to hear it. Just keep sending those checks, right? Or nowadays, they don't even send checks. They just deposit the money in a bank somewhere, and it gets deposited, wired across, or withdrawn from their checking account, put into our checking account automatically. I mean, it's, you don't do anything. Now, if something breaks, what do? Do you go over there and fix it? No. You send over a contractor. Send a plumber for plumbing work. You send an electrician for electrician work. You send an AC guy for AC work. I mean, you know, and you don't fix the stuff that is wear and tear. That gets done at the beginning or the end of, you know, at the end of an old lease or at the beginning of a new lease, if you're going to do it for them. And that gets negotiated into the contract, into the lease. But, you know, if the AC breaks, somebody's got to fix the AC. If the AC is just worn out, you're going to pay for it. If, on the other hand, you know, you put a brand new AC in there when you bought it and now the thing's perfect and their dog chewed the Freon line off, they're going to pay for that repair. Because that's in the lease. If you break something, destroy something, you pay for it. Will I get it fixed? Yeah, I'm still going to get it fixed because it's my house. I want it fixed. But I'm going to charge them for that. And they're going to pay. Otherwise, it's going to ruin their credit. I'm going to take their deposit, security deposit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You just got to know what you're doing. But that's why you put a good tenant in the first place. A good tenant is going to want you to pay for something you deserve to pay for. They're going to pay for it if they broke it. Right? Again, it's good people and bad people. So when you put these people in there, over this period of time, the mortgage is being paid down, the house is appreciating in value, you're earning rental income. It's an incredible thing. But you're not working. And that's the part this guy and his hustle don't understand. He's getting up every day, and he's hustling from 8 till 7. In his mind, he's making quick money, easy money. He's thinking, I don't want to do all this stuff you do to be a real estate investor. I get on my podcast and I podcast and I talk to people and, you know, it's fun. I like doing it. It's really what I'd do. I'd probably do it if I didn't get paid to do it. If I could just do it for the notoriety, I've heard all of these things. And it's like me doing the radio. I do it 1 hour a day. I like doing it. Would I do it if I didn't get paid to do it? I don't think I'd do it if I didn't get paid to do it. Do I like doing it? Yes. Is it worth an hour of my day? Yes. Is it worth 8 hours a day, like being Hannity on the radio all day long, and then after he's on the radio all day long, 3 or 4 hours on the radio, then he does 3 or 4 or 5 hours on TV? No. Well, they make a lot of money. I do too. But I don't work like that. And that's what this guy couldn't get. He's all about the hustle. Tell me about how I make a lot of money really quick. About how. And all the ways you make money really quick are with the hustle. Get out, go work. Wholesalers, get out and go work. Get out and go work. Get out and go work. They find, locate, sell. Find, locate, sell. Find, locate, sell. It's a job. You get up every day and do it. I don't do that. Right now, I am making millions of dollars talking to you on the radio. Not because I'm selling you millions of dollars of product, but because my product I already own, my real estate, is earning me money while I'm here doing this. In fact, before I got on today, I was looking at a deal. I'm thinking, I like that deal. It had the right price, had the right rate of return, had the right type of business I wanted to buy, and it had a decent location. I'm going, man, I'm going to look into this. So I contacted people, start the process of looking into it. Now, one of the things the guy, the hustler, said to or the wholesaler said to the hustling guy, to the podcast guy, he said, well, I have to look at 60 deals, make 60 offers to get one. And he goes, what do you mean by make 60 offers? Well, it's like I call the guy up. He sends me a brochure and the information on the deal. I look at the deal. I say to the guy, okay, look, go back to the seller and say, I'll give him this. Now, the other guy said, well, it has to be a written offer and blah, 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 and guaranteed and all this. Yeah, it does for him. It doesn't for once you get into this stuff. Somebody says, you want, I'll take it. Here's, tell them this price, see if they'll take it. They will. I'll give you a written offer in 5 minutes. It takes 5 minutes to write an offer, by the way. So it's not like this guy's thinking that you got to hustle. There's no hustle. Once you buy these things, there's no hustle, right? Each time you bring somebody on about real estate, they know what they're doing. They understand how they're making their buck. This guy doesn't seem to get it because he seems to think that there's whatever it is they do is nothing and that it's not being smart, it's not being educated, it's not being skilled. They think that it's just, you know, anybody could do it. And a lot of people believe that anybody can do anything syndrome in life. And maybe most people can learn to do things very well. We teach a lot of people how to do things very well, but some people are just too lazy to do it. Some people not smart enough to pick it up. The bottom line is that there are the type of people that are type A personalities that believe they can do anything, that just no matter what, they don't even need to know the information, the education, they figure it out as they're going along. And then all of a sudden they run out there and they try to do it and they run into blocks and obstacles and they give up. That's what I'm trying to get to. Whereas analytical people, they try to overanalyze it before they get there. And so they don't go anywhere because they get stuck overanalyzing. The reality is what you have to do is you have to come and get educated and learn how to do it, because once you learn how to do it, it's easy to do if you just do the right thing. So the next thing I went on to from single family houses that was interesting is I bought five little duplexes, which is a 10 houses in a row, ran it like an apartment complex. In fact, it was sold to me like an apartment complex in one little business. And I paid a ridiculous amount of money down for it, like $25,000 down, paid $200,000 for it. So this is like 35 years ago. And I made like $200 a month per unit positive cash flow, which was $2,000 a month. So I was making $2,000 a month positive cash flow on a $25,000 investment. Now blow your mind on that one. So this was owner finance deal, so I didn't even have to go to the bank. The owner sold it to me and financed the deal. And what's interesting about this is that it taught me something about managing in a different perspective. What I did was I took one of the tenants that lived there. It was a lady who had kids who had to stay home, couldn't work because she had to stay home all the time. And I said, look, I'll let you be my manager. I said, it's not a job. You really don't do anything. I'm not going to ask you to do stuff, right? I'm not going to ask you to go out of your way. I'm just saying, look, for a small amount of money, I will have you just be the on-site eyes and ears for me. So what did that mean? That meant that I didn't have to drive out there. She could tell me what was going on without me going out there. And in a multifamily environment compared to a single-family environment, like a rent house, I no reason to go see a rent house. I put you in there. I don't want to see the house. I don't even want to see what you did to it until 10 years later when you move out. I don't care what you put in the backyard. I don't care, you know, I don't let you. It's not in the least that you can change things. But if you did, I'd never know until you move out. At the end, we settle up and I take your security deposit or charge you whatever repairs are. But in multifamily, you have people interacting with people and somebody parks in somebody else's driveway or you know, one person throws their trash on somebody, whatever. The bottom line is there's interactivity there that somebody has to watch and see what's going on. And, of course, there's turnover to some extent, way more than a single-family house. People move in. They may stay there for a long time, but nowhere near as long as single-family houses. Because, again, the single-family house environment is the family environment moving in for the entire life of raising their kids type of thing. So in this environment, you had all kinds of singles and or couples that were moving in that were more transient type people. So this manager, what would happen is if there was somebody that wasn't paying their rent, instead of me driving all the way over there to try to collect the rent, because the rent just comes in the mail. You have to realize that. It either comes in the mail or you have a computer banking system that you wire it directly from their account. I even had a bank right down the street from where this place was at that they could deposit. If they didn't want to do it, they'd just go down there and deposit. The bank would take the money. I had an account there, put it in my account, give you your name, and they would get it registered. So there was no reason for me to go over there to collect rent. There was really no reason for me to go over there unless somebody didn't pay. If somebody didn't pay, instead of me going over there, the manager would simply put a 3-day notice on the door for me. And maybe knock on the door and go, hey, how you doing? Great, we're missing your payment. You know, are you going to pay? When are you going to pay? Something like that. Not aggressive, not mean, whatever. Just, you know, hey, I'm calling you because the owner wanted me to look into you, see what you're doing. And then if they don't pay by the 5th of the month or whatever, we give them a 3-day notice. Say you got to be out within 3 days for not paying, which then put the eviction process in order or in put it into process. The eviction was now in process. It was the paperwork of giving them the notice is all it was really about. If it came down to foreclosure or if it came down to eviction, I would actually go to court. I wouldn't let this person go to court. I wouldn't make them go to court. I just wanted them to be my eyes and ears and hands and feet so I don't have to go over there. So if I had to do an eviction, I would do it myself. Now, let's say we have an empty unit. The person gave notice and moved out or we evicted them, whatever the deal was. Now there's a vacant unit. Well, instead of me driving over there to show this thing, we put a sign in the yard. It says for rent. And the telephone number would go directly to this person I picked to be the manager of the place. And they would say, yeah, I'm calling about this thing. You know, what's the rent? And she'd tell them, well, we put the rent on the sign, by the way, because we want them to know it's this much. If you're not going to want that amount, then don't call, right? That's what it's going to be. Don't call. Or if you do want it, call. So they'd call and say, yeah, tell me about this thing. And she'd go, you want to see it? And unlike when I had to go over there and show the thing, what would happen is to say, okay, well, can you get there like Thursday at like 4? When can we meet? Blah, 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 blah. That didn't happen. With this situation, the manager was able simply to go, I'm here. When do you want to come over? And there it is. Easy peasy. The tenant gets in. I don't go over there. Job done. Business without long work hours. Remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.